It's the Gardner Webb Coaches Show podcast, presented by Alpha Graphics South Charlotte, the premier custom printing, marketing, and signage company located in the heart of Charlotte. Visit alphagraphicssouthcharlotte.com. Here's your host, Phil Constantino.
We welcome you into the Gardner Webb Coaches Show podcast with the newly named head men's basketball coach, formerly the associate head coach the past 11 years here at Gardner Webb University, and now he's in the number one chair. His name is Jeremy Luther. Coach Luther, congratulations on the gig, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Phil. I'm excited. Obviously, the last couple days have been a whirlwind, to say. I'm starting to get my feet under me and kind of get in the direction on which way we need to go, but excited. Can't wait. You know, the overwhelming feeling starts to sit in, but I'm ready to take on this task and continue the direction and even elevate, if I can, even more.
Lots to talk about. Our conversation with Coach Luther is presented by Alpha Graphics South Charlotte, family owned and operated for over 25 years. Alpha Graphics South Charlotte is the premier printing company and design solution serving the Charlotte market. Owner and operator Rich Shepler brings over 35 years of industry experience to the table, and his team of marketing and communications experts can help you expand your brand. Visit alphagraphicssouthcharlotte.com. That's alphagraphicssouthcharlotte.com. Or call 704-849-9292. That's 704-849-9292. We'll have to call our friend Rich at Alpha Graphics and get you a new placard for the desk. Head coach, Jeremy Luther.
Yeah, I think those went out back in 81 or 82. I don't see too many.
Maybe those, something for the door frame.
There you go.
I want to take you back to a conversation that we had, I believe, the first week of the season. We were in Bentonville, Arkansas, at the hotel, about to take off to go to the game. And we recorded an interview that we played at halftime. And you said to me at the time, when I asked, do you want to be a head coach again someday? You at first said no, and then you paused and said, well, maybe, we'll see. Where in this process did it become, I want to do this, I want to be a head coach again? You've been a Division II head coach before, then came to Gardner-Webb as an assistant for Tim Kraft, and now you're the head man. Where in the process did you decide, I want to give this a shot again?
Well, like I said yesterday, this job here, it wasn't just a head coaching job. It wasn't like, I'm ready to be a head coach, or the next step in my career is to be a head coach. I've known 6 months into my working experience here 11 years ago that I just saw this place. We like this place. We love the community. I wanted to work every day as hard as I could for Tim and to give him an opportunity if he thought an opportunity or saw an opportunity out there that was better for him and his family. So when you asked me that question, if I paused, when I paused, it was more so I was trying to think, well, if Tim doesn't ever leave here, then I'm not going to pursue another job because we don't want to leave, or I don't want to leave. My family doesn't want to leave. We liked it that much. So my hesitation would have been, I don't know if he's going to leave, so I'm not going to leave. Mm-hmm. But if he does leave, it's because he has a better opportunity that we're doing what we're supposed to do, and then the opportunity for me to step in would be there. So that's kind of the conflict
Well, you've also said to me before off the air, you said, I'm a big fit guy, and Gardner Webb fits me, and I think – me and my family fit Gardner Webb, fit the Boiling Springs Shelby community. You've said that to me before.
Right.
And that's rare in college athletics nowadays. All we see is coaches moving, coaches elevating. Quite frankly, Tim Kraft, 11 years of service at Gardner Webb, that's rare nowadays.
It is.
And you still feel that way, that you're a fit guy and Gardner Webb's your place.
Right. It's ironic you asked me that. I was just talking to some of our younger guys here in our offices, and I said, when I was their age, I wanted to climb that ladder. I wanted to get to the highest level. Everything was a stepping stone. It was money, fame. It was, you know, all the things that come with what you see at the highest level. And then all of a sudden you get married. And that attitude changes a little. That drive changes a little because now it's not just about you. It's about your wife. And my wife, you know, she's been a rock star. Every place we've gone, it's hard on the move, but it gets better each time. And she just jumps in and she gets herself just totally into that city, that community. And then you have your first kid and you see that kid go into kindergarten and into, you know, grade school and all the sports and the people in the community. You're out more with, and you're starting to meet other people. Then you have your second kid and that second one's a girl and she gets even more attached. And then your third. So then it slowly changes from me and driven and highest level and only have to worry about myself to now I got four other people. Mm-hmm. And my family loves this community so much with our church, with our kids' schooling, with our friends and our community, just everything that we do. We're small town people and we're not hard to please. I've never wanted to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. So, you know, that whole perspective that we have kind of taken on and then the goal and mission and just what Gardner Webb is about at the press conference, I can look out there. It's a whole lot more people than I thought would be there. And I looked across and I knew almost every single person. There wasn't a person that I didn't have years of conversations or passings with. And then, you know, in the process itself, I had so many people call. I didn't realize how many people care about Gardner Webb basketball and what we've done and what we could do and what we're going to do. Just people upon people and text. And it's just, it's home for us. My wife is from here. Both our parents moved here to Boiling Springs. So there's so much more in it. So it wasn't, I need a head coaching job. I want us. That's my next step. I've always wanted to be the head coach here if given that opportunity.
Athletic director, Dr. Andrew Goodrich, he's basically said from the start that Jeremy Luther is going to get the job because he earned the job. And there was a large list of folks and an exhaustive national search over the course of 2 weeks, which is maybe a little bit long nowadays in college basketball. Everybody moves very quickly. But he said, you earned the job. You went through the process and you earned the job. Sounds to me like you didn't want to leave Gardner Webb pretty clearly. You didn't want to leave this community for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with your career. What were the last 2 weeks like for you?
Oh, man. It was, my wife and I were joking, like every 5 minutes, it seemed like, you know, I was thinking, yeah, this, I'm gonna have a great chance to get this. It's going to be mine. And then you'd hear something or tweet something or, you know, somebody said something. In the next five, you're like, ain't no chance I'm getting this, you know. And then you'd be on the road recruiting and you'd be in the gym and everybody's coming up to you saying, man, you deserve it. You're this and that. I'm praying for them, thinking about you. I hope they do the right thing. And then you hear about some of the other guys that are going after it and you're like, whoa. And then you hear they, you know, hired a search firm. Well, that's usually the nail in the guy's coffin. That's the interim because – why do the search firm if the guy's sitting right here? Why go through that whole, you know, process? So it was up and down and left and right. It seemed like it was 2 years, not 2 weeks. But, you know, the whole process in itself, now that I look back at it, and I touched on it yesterday, it is exactly what I needed. I needed the encouragement. I needed to reflect on what I could have done better, what I should be doing, everything from spiritually to my family life, to the actual job itself. I mean, a ray of emotions for those 2 weeks came across my mind. And, you know, and you doubt yourself. Then you're mad at yourself or you're mad at the process or you're just frustrated. But then people come in and encourage you and it makes you feel better. There's just so much support. That's what helped me get through it all, just the support and this the passion I saw for what we've done and what we could continue to do.
So day one, you have to get a staff. Andrew Brown and Adam Bullard, two assistant coaches that were on the staff with you and Tim Kraft. They have chosen to go with Coach Kraft to Western Carolina. Where do you start?
Well, I don't know. This is new for me, so I don't know if I can publicly comment or how many people are listening or what I. You know, I don't want to get people in trouble, but I had a plan. I've got three great guys that are Gardner Webb through and through. That I specifically have targeted all three of them, and I'm happy to say right now that one has confirmed. Went into his current employer yesterday and made them aware of his decision to come back. So now he's got to go through a whole lot smaller process than I did. But he's going through the process of applying. He's going through the process of the background checks and all that good stuff. So
we can't release a name, but keep an eye out.
Right. Within the next 3 to 5 days, gotcha. You're going to have a great face, a champion of Gardner Webb. And then the other two guys, another one's really close. He's trying to make a last few talks and convincings of people in his life. Mm-hmm. But I think that's pretty much done. And then the third one is going to be done, but he's also involved in another head coaching job. And he wants to kind of see that through, which I told him he needs to. And he should know in the next probably 10 days to 2 weeks, 15 days, whatever. So I feel confident all three in the end will be here, and it'll be a great staff. It'll be some guys that are passionate about Gardner Webb, carry the same mission I have about getting these kids better, more off the floor than on the floor, because like I said before, the on-the-floor stuff is easy. This is Division I. We're really good. Everybody's really good. These kids want to be really good, so yep. That's not hard to motivate them. It's the off-the-floor stuff and kind of just teaching them just
– how to be people.
People, men, you know, all that kind of stuff, grow up. And that's the stuff that we really – my passion is for is them and their eternity versus going out and just winning games.
So it seems like you have a plan for a staff. You're hoping within, say, 2 weeks or so.
2 weeks, I think, feel confident it's going to round out. I feel good about that.
In 2024, you now also have to build a roster, more so than in many other years of – the past,
yep.
In college basketball. First things first, there are a couple of players that have entered their names in the portal. This is public knowledge. I think maybe two surprises to a lot of Gardner Webb fans. Julian Samaro, who has spent 3 years here. Adimide Badmus, who has spent 3 years here. Neither of those guys are in a graduation position yet. They are in the portal, potentially looking to move. Do you intend to try and keep them here?
100%. And I knew that, you know, The one downside of the process is these kids get uncertain. They're not being communicated with. They would try to ask me, and I'm like, hey, I'm in a good place, good shape. It's moving forward. I feel good, but there's no concrete, hey, are you definitely getting it? And the bad side about it, and this is, I guess, public knowledge, is there's a lot of people that will contact your roster – and tend to make these kids worry more than they should. And they get into their heads, and if Jeremy doesn't get this job, then you're going to lose out on this, this, and this. And then, so these kids get uncertain. And the only level of consistency or, the only positive voice I could give them was, hey, just be patient. I feel really good about it, but it's not there yet. And that, in the end, I got Julian till last Friday. I said, give me till Friday. Nothing happened on Friday. I got him through Monday. He called me Monday morning and said, I've got to do this just in case. I'm losing out on some opportunities in his mind. And then Ademide, basically roughly the same timeline. I think his was on Thursday. He said the same thing. He's like, man, if you don't get it. Then once they officially go in, now you got everybody hitting them. Somebody goes in the portal. I mean, we've done this now for 3 years, and they're getting, if they have any stat line, they're getting 15, 18, 20 calls within 30 minutes. And now they're trying to sift through everything, and we're good at what we do. Mm-hmm. We can talk the game. We can tell them what they want to hear, and they have to try to figure out what's true or what's not true.
I mean, it's public knowledge who has reached out to Samaro already, and they're from all corners of the country at all different levels. I mean, he's a good player. He's an all-conference caliber player, potentially. in the Big South and many other leagues.
Mm-hmm. That, yes. So when that happens, now you have damage control. And I can't control the damage till they name me the head coach. So they name me, I've just got the job, and that's what I've been doing the last 2 days. Mm. And all the kids have promised me that we got a fair shake. I just left Ademide. Mm. Great conversation with him. He does want to be close to home, and I can't argue that. I can't coach that out of him. Mm. If you have 1 year left and your parents, they haven't got a chance to see you consistently play in person, that's a tough one. But he also knows that you know what you got here. Things aren't going to change that much. You trust us. You know the league. You're going to be one of the better big men coming back in the league. Julian's the same thing. You get a chance to be a first team preseason. So that's what I'm preaching to them. And I think both kids are strongly listening to it. I feel good that we'll have a fair shake to get both kids back. But I also said, hey, I didn't give them an ultimate. I didn't say, hey, if you don't let me know by this date, you're out. I said, just take your time. It's important. It's your last year. I get it. I understand it. And then the other side of it is, Phil, you know this. There are so many kids out there, mm-hmm. and I've done this for a really long time. My preference would be to keep those two kids. I tell you this much, if I hadn't gotten the job, there's no chance those kids were coming back. They're out, they're gone, they're done. Just getting the job now, we got a fair shake to get these kids back. But there are plenty, there's more kids out there than schools available. More kids out there than schools available. So if for some reason they choose to go another place, we'll get some really good ones. And I feel very strongly about being able to replace those kids. Don't want to, and I'm going to try not to, but if they do, we'll be fine.
And so those listening to this, Gardner Webb fans and others listening to this, just because you enter the portal, they're still enrolled in school here.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
enrolled in school through the end of this semester. Mm-hmm. That's the way it works. Any possibility, I know it was an open-ended question, for the five guys that were honored on senior day in the final week of the season, DQ Nicholas, Quest Aldridge, Caleb Robinson, Lucas Stieber, Sheknah Sissoko. Some of those guys still have eligibility left. I know it was kind of an open-ended question. Mojo and I had talked about it on the air during the conference tournament. Maybe we could see some of those guys back. Some of those guys might look to just go into their professional lives. Some of those guys might look to go transfer elsewhere. What's the status of those five guys right now?
Yep, I've had conversations with them all. In fact, today had lunch with Lucas. Great lunch with him. He's trying to decide right now, do I get in coaching because he desperately wants to be a coach?
I'm going to guess that he's going to have a future in that.
Yeah.
He's got some connections.
He's got as many as he wants. But he's such a humble kid, he doesn't want to just lean on that.
Yeah.
He wants to get coaching so bad. But he also, I've been harping on him all year. You're just like, hey, next year is going to be the next year. And he always laughs. He goes, coach, I want to coach. And so all year. But at the end, towards the end, he said, you know what? I'm going to leave that door open. I am. And he took 2 weeks off. His classes are online. He went to see his family. And we've had great conversations. I would love to have him back. He is such a floor general. He's such a leader. He's such a mature. He's one of your hardest workers. And I think there's a really good chance. I think he's really leaning towards continuing to play. Caleb Robinson, he's going to have some high-level suitors because of his stat line, his ability, his explosion, and the things, some of the games that he's played and what he's able to do. He's going to get some stuff thrown at him that maybe schools at our level can't throw at him. Or give him or afford him, and he wants to kind of see what those options could be. But he again said, coach, if you hadn't got the job, I'd be out. But since you got it, I'm really strongly going to give us an opportunity. And then Sheknah just left. He wants to do everything he can do to stay. It's either going to go work for, he told me, Amazon out in California, a manager at Amazon that one of our former players helped him with.
Yeah.
Or play. He wants to make it work to him to play. There's some financial issues kind of there that we got to kind of talk through because he's getting married and here in a few weeks. So he's in a good spot to want to come back as well.
So it sounds to me like, and this is a concern of Gardner Webb public. I think this is a concern of any fan, especially after you have a successful tenure of a coaching staff and a very successful season where you finish two games out of first place and one game away from playing for a trip to the NCAA tournament. It sounds to me like you feel pretty confident that you're going to be able to keep the large majority of this roster together.
I do.
And that is a cause for concern throughout the last couple of weeks for Gardner Webb fans. But you feel pretty good about that.
I feel great about it. I feel very good that we will land some of these guys and they will stay. And I've been preaching, especially the one-year kids. Mm-hmm. With the one-year kids, here's what they got to worry about. You know what you got here? You know, was it a hand and bird and stone is worth two in the hand? What's that stone? You know what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. Some...
bird in the hand is worth two in the bush or one, whatever they say.
That sounds like a Southern saying that you grew up with that I didn't.
You know what you got here. Yeah. And I said, you're not playing. So let's say some school offers you some sort of sum of money. That sum of money is not going to last you the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And going into another staff, another program that you don't know, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, but you don't actually know. What that does is it's a gamble because you're going to go in there. You don't know the culture. You don't know the system. You don't know the players, your teammates, the locker room. And so there's a lot of things you can't control that can affect your pro contract. And your last year needs to be your best year. Well, you know what you got here. You know your coach. You know you're going to know your whole staff that's coming in here pretty much so. You know the system we're going to play. You know the league. You know what you've already done. So you're not playing for – you're not trying to play for that one-year deal that you think you're going to get this year from some school. You're playing for year two. And your best opportunity for your best year two is to stay here because you know what you're going to get. You know what to expect, that consistency, the everyday thing. And that's starting to kind of hit home to them. You know, it's just – it makes sense to them.
So let's talk recruiting philosophy as a whole. You were – kind of the lead recruiting guy on the previous staff, a large part of the pipeline to the Northeast that brought so many talented players down here over the years. Does that recruiting philosophy stay the same? Is that now an extension of the last 11 years?
It does. It stays exactly the same. That's what I know. That's what I do best. I want to keep my hand in there. Obviously, it won't be to the same level as the past 11 years, but I am going to be out more than people think.
More than, say, most head coaches. There are a lot of head coaches that really step back and let the assistants attack it, and understandably so. You're the CEO of a lot bigger operation when you're sliding over a chair.
Sure. I'm going to be out more than most head coaches because that's what I love. That's my passion. That's my connection. And I'm a big believer in, you know, it's not about the X's and the O's. It's about the Jimmys and the Joes. You got to have horses in the stable. You got to have dudes, you know. And in order to do that, I think you limit yourself if the head coach is not in that battle with you. There's a pocket of kids that an assistant can get that you're just going to get kids. There's a pocket of kids that no matter what the assistant does, if the head coach doesn't get involved, you know, strongly, you're never going to get those kids. So in my mind, I'm going to try to cover both if I can, where, you know, I can be in there and back those guys up and say, here comes the head coach. He's a believer. He's going to hear from you. But I'm also going to have to turn over those week trip in the fall, the springtime and summer trips I can make, but I'm going up to the Northeast for 7 to 10 days in the fall and over Christmas and making my rounds. That's probably not going to happen, but my first one will, because I'll take the guy that's replacing me up there and kind of get him acclimated, because it is a great pipeline. We've had a lot of really good kids from there, and we're going to continue to get a lot of really kids from there.
Playing style. The identity of this team over the last 11 years has been defense. Even with trying to implement a faster, more full court, higher scoring style this year, you didn't lose being, although maybe numbers because the pace don't show this, probably the best defensive team in the Big South once again. You're no worse than top one or two defensive teams in the Big South every single year. Does that style stay the same? Has that become an extension of the previous coaching staff?
So I always always joked with the previous guys, you know, it's a proven fact, Phil. This is a proven fact. if you score one more point than the other team, you win 100% of the time. You're always going to win the game. There's no refuting that at all. And they always used to get so mad at me for saying that. So I want to play extremely, extremely fast. I want to put the best players I can get in easy positions, spacing the floor, and taking the complication out of it. Not that we were complicated. I'm not saying we're complicated, but for me, I'm not a complicated guy. I just want to put good players in good space that can make good decisions. And we'll kind of preach and teach and drill those kinds of things. But, yes, I have learned a ton defensively. Tim Kraft was really good and almost too good, because early on we were always really good defensively and we struggled offensively. But over the last 3 or 4 years, especially this year, we finally opened him up and said, hey, man, let's look at doing this. And he was thinking about it and he did it, playing extremely fast. He was so worried about how that would affect us on the defensive end. And it proved that as long as you're focused and detailed in practice on what you believe, our practices were structured differently. They weren't near as long. We majored on what we wanted to major on, and we took some of the fluff stuff out of it. The kids loved it, and we were still able to be good defensively. So I want to, and one of the guys I'm speaking with that's committed to come, he's really good on that end of the floor. And I'm also a big believer, know what you do well, and then hire what you don't do well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, at my age, I'm not going to sit there and try to learn and try to do and try to be an expert at something at this stage of my career. So I'm going to go hire that. And the guy I got coming in here is really good on the defensive end, and he's going to have a big say in what we do. Mm-hmm. And offensively, that's kind of where I like to focus. So I think it will be a good deal and continue to kind of be what we've been.
So a lot more like what we've seen specifically this past year.
This past year. We were
with the offensive pace.
You know all the numbers.
Also combine it with the defense that you had built in the past.
Yes, yes. Gotcha. You know, and this year was just a perfect – we weren't the most talented team at all in the league. We were good. We weren't the most talented team, but nobody wanted to play us because of just what we implemented and how fast makes and misses. I mean, I can't tell you how many coaches said to me, you guys were a nightmare. I'm standing in the hallway at High Point after our loss, and the Presbyterian women's coach was right next to us, and she looked over at me. You guys are a nightmare in transition. And she's on the women's side. She goes, you guys are unbelievable in transition.
What coaches used to always say to me more than anything else, specifically this year, but something they'd always said in the past too, Gardner-Webb plays like they don't know the score of the game. That was the number one piece of feedback that I always got about, especially this year's team. They play like they don't know the score of the game.
Yeah, yeah. We did that, and I think that comes, again, from how Coach Kraft, how we structured what we did in practice, mm-hmm. that we made sure that they were never satisfied with the last possession, that we always played as if it was tied 0-0, mm-hmm. and we built that in with the guys from the summer to the fall throughout the season, that at this level, you got to make sure that you are the more ready team. That's a phrase he used a ton on every single possession. So it doesn't matter if you're up 20, if you're down 20, you're always in it. You're never out of it. And you play every possession as the more ready team. You dominate the effort plays. And that's a big thing for him too. That's why we were so trained to dive on the floor and loose balls and 50-50 balls, is because we did that in practice. And again, if we're up 15 and you're not diving on the floor, you're going to pay for that. Mm-hmm. If you're down 15, you should obviously be doing everything you do to claw back into it. But that was just a mindset that he preached. Be the more ready team on every possession. Dominate the effort plays and be great teammates. And I don't think you can be a great teammate if you don't have those other attributes kind of ingrained in you.
Scheduling. Gardner-Webb has played Western Carolina the last 3 years.
I'm trying.
Will Gardner-Webb play Western Carolina again this year?
Gardner-Webb wants to play Western Carolina.
Will Tim Kraft let Western Carolina play?
Western Carolina does not want to play us. That he is such a humble, awesome dude, and he doesn't want conflict. if I had to say anything negative about one of my best friends in the business and just lifelong friend, is he is way too nice of an individual. He hates conflict. He hates the hard conversations. And playing Gardner Webb would be a hard conversation leading up to it. Whatever media we have attention at this level, it would be even heightened more. He wants to steer away from that. One, he would hate to lose to us. And I think, two, he'd feel bad beating us. Me, on the other hand, I love it. I mean, I'd love to play it. I'd probably do something crazy, throw something out there that we haven't done just to look down at the other end, because he's so prepared for games. And if he doesn't know what we're going to do, he can't prepare for it. He'd look down at me and be like, what in the world is this? And, you know, just do something off the wall. But I would love it. I don't think he wants to, and that's fine.
Last thing, you just mentioned your lifelong friendship with Tim. You guys go back to your high school days, probably what, even younger maybe.
Yeah, middle school.
Middle school days. I know that I think he was a proponent of you getting the job here. And I'm wondering, I'm sure you have spoken since you were officially named the head coach. Once you got the news, you've spoken to him since, even before that maybe this was even public. But just wondering, what's the number one piece of advice that he gave you about being the head coach, but specifically being the head coach at Gardner-Webb?
So going through the process, he's like, just focus on your guys. Focus on the current guys. Just keep preaching to them. Just staying together, reaching those guys. And the one thing he did more than he ever knew he did was his entire 11 years, how he treats other people. You would never know Tim Kraft was a head Division I coach. He treats everybody with the utmost respect. He treats everybody as they're the most important person in the room at all times. And so he had no ego. I could tell you story after story over 11 years, the things he did for others that nobody ever knew. And he wouldn't tweet or TikTok or whatever they do about it. He wouldn't claim. He'd almost get mad at you if you said thank you for something, because that's just what he did. So how he treated other people, especially from his spot on campus, his spot in this program, gracious, he's humble, he's appreciative, he's not very affectionate, which I'm fine with that. I'm not too affectionate of a dude anyways, but just how he treats others. And he's always preached that, taking care of others and putting others. And we have this DNA thing that we talk about, what we want our players to be. And one of the ones he always talks about is being selfless, putting others before yourself. So many times in this world and society, it's me, 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 what can I have? And what's good for me? I don't care about. And he was always preaching, man, you got to put other people first. And at Gardner Webb, being such a small deal here, you've got to learn to treat people right. Because you want those people in your corner. You want those people caring about your program. You know what? It showed out. Because all that stuff I said earlier about how much people care about Gardner Webb and they want Gardner Webb, you know, he built that. And he got people just to believe in us because of how well he treated other people.
Jeremy Luther is the new head basketball coach at Gardner Webb University. Next fall, you will enter your 12th season in Boiling Springs, and your first as the head coach. You're going to call a timeout in a game for the first time in what?
12 years? 12 years, yeah. It's different. 11 years walking the same path into the arena, to the office. It's so weird. It's like a dream. You're like, is this real? I'm walking down the hallway.
Move down the hall.
Yeah, I'm moving down the hall. It is so weird. I've sat in this. It's empty now. I've sat and had some meetings with some people. I'm just like, this is so weird. This used to be his, and now it's mine, and I'm trying to get used to it all.
Jeremy, you're the best. Thank you for the time. All the best of luck. Congratulations on the new gig, and I'll be watching.
Appreciate you.
Jeremy Luther, he's the head men's basketball coach at Gardner Webb University. That does it for this edition of the Gardner Webb Coaches Show podcast, presented by Alpha Graphics South Charlotte. I'm Phil Constantino. As always, thanks for joining us at SCO Dogs.
The Gardner Webb Coaches Show podcast is a presentation of the Running Bulldogs Sports Network. Any reproduction, retransmission, or other use of this podcast without the express written consent of Gardner Webb Athletics is strictly prohibited. Announcers are selected by Gardner Webb University. You've been listening to the Gardner Webb Coaches Show podcast, presented by Alpha Graphics South Charlotte.